So, how many of you guys would say that you enjoyed school? Okay, well, there's a couple of hands that's there. Now, we do have some kids that are still in school, so just raise them a little bit higher, those of you who did, just so we can be a good influence on them. Okay. How many of you would say that you actually miss some of those days of education, and even some of those days of higher education? Yeah, like high school and college and even beyond. How many of you would say that you enjoyed science classes? Oh, well, that is more hands than I thought I was going to get. Wow, that's not the response I expected. That's good. Now, here's the big question. How many of you would say that you ever had any interest at all in geology? Okay. Oh, okay, well, there's some, pardon me? We're going to make it interesting for you today. We're going to make it interesting for you today. So I'm going to welcome you all this morning. This is our science class for this morning. So Tony, if you would, there you go. This is Spiritual Geology 101 this morning. Yes, you're going to like it a lot better, Amy. So I'm going to be serving as your professor this morning. So in my mind, the way I see myself, got the patches, got the glasses. In my mind, this is the way I see myself. Now, I do realize we're talking about geology. Geology is not all that exciting, so probably you're going to view me this way. But that's okay, too, because this guy, he's really happy. He's enjoying what he's doing. He's happy with geology, and I'm going to be having fun this morning with geology. So I hope you enjoy this as well. Spiritual Geology 101. Now, part of the reason that I like science and that I really love history is because science and history, they both have a way of showing us we can see the Word of God expressed in vibrant ways through science and through history. So you might say that, well, geology just sounds boring, but it's not. It's anything but boring when you view science through this, through the lens of the Word of God. It's never boring when you look at it through this. I would even say to you that geology, when we study geology, geology is just studying God's creation. It is God revealing himself and his nature to us. I would even say this. Geology points us to who we are in Jesus Christ. And it points us to the plan that he has for us. I'm going to say that again because I want you to remember that. Geology points us to who we are in Jesus Christ, and it points us to the plans that Jesus has for us. Now, I know that there's a lot of different sciences that I could look at that would probably be far more exciting. Computer science, astronomy, engineering. You can look at things like architecture. If you've got artistic hearts to you, then, you know, architecture would be a science that people would be fascinated by. Paleontology, kids love fossils. Oceanography, botany. I mean, there's so many different sciences that on the surface just sound so much more interesting than geology. Geology sounds like it's nothing more than just looking at a bunch of old rocks. But it's more than that. Let me just give you a really quick example. So I have here behind me, these are five stones. These are five stones that Donna actually picked up for me when we were in Israel. So these are stones that Donna picked up from the Valley of Elah. So the Valley of Elah is where David had his showdown, his confrontation with Goliath. So Donna picked these up from the Valley of Elah. Now, seriously, it's quite possible that these stones come from the, I mean sincerely, it's quite possible they come from the same sediment. They come from the same vein. They come from the same layer of rock. In fact, it's likely these come from the exact same layer of rock. It's a big layer, but the same layer of rock that those stones that David picked up. Now, you can hold these in your hand. I mean, when you look at geology in this way, geology really is, it's tangible and it's fascinating. And think about this. Think of how many times in the Word of God, think of how many times God uses rocks. He uses rocks as some kind of a metaphor in the Bible to reveal to us some kind of a spiritual truth. Think about that. And think about this, the Bible itself, it was written to people who were living in Israel. They were people that were surrounded by rocks. We were just there in November in Israel, and one of the things that Jeff commented to me on is, Jeff said, Israel's just a bunch of rocks. And everywhere you look, literally, Israel is just rocks. You can even look at the agricultural acreage, and it is so strewn with rocks, you wonder. I mean, you can't even imagine how anything can grow there, or how any sheep or goats or any kind of animals, how they have anything to graze upon. It just seems like it is all rock. So rock is a powerful source of imagery for the Bible. In fact, Jesus himself is called the rock. So this is familiar. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone, which the builders rejected, has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. Jesus is the rock. They stumble, being disobedient upon the word to which they also were appointed. We also read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for the drink of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Jesus. And of course, if you've known me at all over the years, you know that one of my favorite stones are one of my favorite images. I love the imagery of stones. In fact, we started off this entire year, all of the month of January, we looked at how we can find our place in the spiritual house that Jesus is building because we are his spiritual stones. We are his living stones in Jesus. 1 Peter 2:5, you also as living stones are being built up, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the rock. We are the living stones in Jesus. If Jesus is into geology, we should probably be more interested in geology also. I do think that there is a great deal of biblical understanding that can be gained as we learn from geology. In fact, I would tell you that I've been watching two different entire courses on geology. In addition, Don and I have been watching a Christian course just on rocks and fossils. It is amazing when you just watch through, and the two courses that I'm going through, they're not even done by Christians at all. But if you view them and you watch them with the lens of the Word of God, it's amazing how many principles I'm writing down and just making notes on, because it all reveals to us so many truths about the Word of God, who He is, who we are in Him, how He does things. It truly is studying God's creation, and we do get to see the nature of Christ within it as well. So this is why I love geology, and I think we can learn more from geology. So having said all that, let me give you a quick lesson on geology. It's a really quick lesson. This is just going to give you some relevant facts about rocks. That sounds even boring to say it out loud, but this is really going to be kind of interesting. So it's quick. This, don't worry about taking notes on this part. This is not going to be in the final exam. When you stand and you're looking to enter into heaven, this is not going to be a question that's asked of you, but it's just helpful for us to see and understand. According to geology, there's three types of rock, just three types. Igneous rocks, metamorphic rocks, and sedimentary rocks. That's it, just three types of rocks. Now, just based on the names alone, those first two sound the most interesting. Igneous rocks and metamorphic rocks. I sat back and I thought, what does that even sound like? They sound better than sedimentary rocks, but what does it sound like? And igneous rocks, and it sounds like something's about to be ignited. I mean, it gives you an idea of some kind of fireworks or some kind of explosions, and guys love anything that has to do with explosions. So igneous rock sounds kind of interesting. And then metamorphic, just say it. I mean, just say metamorphic. It sounds like it has something to do with superheroes or the powers that come with superheroes. I'm sure that if kryptonite was actually a stone, it would be classified as metamorphic. It just sounds like it would have to be metamorphic. And the reality is that, for example, igneous rocks, at one time, they really were explosive, and they really were pyrotechnic. They truly were, because igneous rocks are rocks that are formed from molten magma. So let's look at the next one. In other words, igneous rocks, they're formed from lava. So every one of us, we've all seen pictures of igneous kinds of rocks. If you've seen any pictures of volcanoes, the rocks that are around are igneous rocks. In Israel, there is basalt and igneous rocks everywhere. Let me just see the next picture. Anytime you've looked at pictures of islands out in the Pacific, the Hawaiian Islands, for example. They're all volcanic islands. They all come from this kind of igneous kind of rocks. So that's igneous rocks. Metamorphic. If you want to think of metamorphic rocks of having to do with superhero kind of power and strength, you can actually do that too. Because metamorphic rocks are created by the intense, unheard of pressures, extreme pressure or extreme heat, or a combination of pressure and heat together. And that's why, let's see this first. There you go. This is why when you see any kind of rocks that are metamorphic rocks, you get this kind of pretty layered look. Not all the time, but a lot of times you see this kind of pretty layered look because you have those incredible pressures as it gets folded over and folded over and pressed down and pressed down and solidified. In fact, granite is one of the best known parts or kinds of metamorphic rock. Why do you choose granite to make like tombstones? They're like really hard. They're superhuman hard. I mean, they last forever and ever. Let me give you one more picture. This is a marble quarry. Marble is also a metamorphic rock. So again, if you want to look at, you know, superpowers or superheroes, well, this is by far one of the most beautiful rocks that we have. When you think about, if somebody wants to beautify an architectural building, what do? They build it out of, or at least they make a facade out of marble, because marble is so beautiful. And go throughout history. All the great sculptures are made from marble. If you've ever looked at some of the sculptures, like Michelangelo, is it Pietà? I can never remember that. What is it? Pietà. It's that, and I didn't want to take a whole bunch of time with pictures, but if you ever look at Michelangelo, just look at his sculptures. They're lifelike. I mean, the rock looks like skin. It's just amazing. So metamorphic rocks are marble. They're beautiful rocks as well. So those are igneous and metamorphic rocks. Now, the least interesting sounding of those three kinds of rocks is sedimentary rocks. It sounds pretty boring. And when I tell you how they're made, it's going to feel pretty boring as well. Sedimentary rocks are nothing more than rocks that are made up of small little particles of sand or clay. It's all the loose sediment that is on the ground that gets cemented together. So these rocks that are made of sediment, rocks that are made of dirt, dust from the ground, these are the rocks that we're going to focus our attention on this morning. The least interesting rocks, we're going to focus our attention on those sedimentary rocks. And this is like sandstone is an example of sedimentary rocks. So why are we going to focus on sedimentary rocks? Out of all three of those rocks, why those? Well, think about what I just described, how sedimentary rocks are made and what they're made from. They're just made of sediment. It's dust. It's dirt. Now, think back. Think back to the Old Covenant story. Think back to the biblical account of the creation of the world. And think about, consider how God actually created man. And remember, sedimentary rocks, they're made from dust and earth. This is Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. So God created man from the dust, from the dirt of the ground. And the word dust that we see there in that verse, in the Hebrew, that word dust means this. This is literally point by point what it means. Dust means the dry earth. It means dirt. It means clay. It means the ground. And remember this, it also means soil. So God created man from the sediments, from the dirt, from the dust, from the soil. He made man from sediments. And sedimentary rocks are made from the dust, from the dirt, from the exact same things. So when you consider all of God's creation as far as humans, you can see how all of God's creation, all people are represented by sedimentary rocks. But then you can also see that if sedimentary rocks are created from the same thing that we are, you can really see that in Jesus, we really truly are living stones in Jesus. You can see why he uses this kind of imagery. So when a geologist is teaching about sedimentary rocks, even though he or she doesn't realize it, they're verifying the Word of God. They are explaining who we are in Jesus Christ. So the next time you see a geology teacher, thank them for supporting the Word of God. They'll be surprised when you say that to them. So let's see, what are some other biblical principles that geology can shed its light upon? So we know that God created man from dust and from dirt, from the sediment. And we just saw that the Hebrew word for dust also means soil. So God created us. He created man. He created us. We are created from sediment, from soil. What does soil represent in the Bible? Soil represents the spiritual condition of the heart to receive the seed or to receive the Word of God. Remember, Jesus himself described the different kinds of soil and how those different kinds of soil could receive the seed or could receive the Word of God and how the Word would grow within those various types of soil. Remember the parable? We had the seed that was sown along the wayside, we had the seed that was sown on stony soil, and we had the seed that was sown into soil that was thick with thorns. Well, the seed, or the Word of God, was unfruitful in all of those three types of soil. Those soils did not receive the Word, the Word did not produce. Nothing grew from it. However, the seed, or the Word of God, that was sown into good soil produced a harvest of 30, 60, even 100-fold. Now, we read that from Mark chapter 4. If you go a little bit further in Mark chapter 4, it also says this. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. When the grain ripens immediately, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. But when the grain ripens immediately, he puts in the sickle because... I just read that twice, didn't I? Well, read it up here, not what I said. But the point is, you can see that there is a harvest that comes from good soil, and there's a process that takes place. And the outcome of that seed, the Word of God, in good soil, is it is supposed to produce a harvest. The harvest is determined by the condition of the soil. Now, since God has created man from dust, from dirt, from the sediment, from the soil, truly, in Jesus Christ, we truly are good soil. Good soil that is to produce a harvest. Can you see all that? Everybody still following with me? You're not starting to look like those kids in the Geology 101 class picture, are you? You can see that we are formed from the soil, and we can see that in Jesus Christ we are good soil, so there should be a harvest that is produced from us in a harvest of 30, 60, 100-fold. Now let's go back and look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 again with all this in mind. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now we already looked at the word dust in that verse. Let's look at the word ground and see what the word ground means as well. So the Hebrew word that we read there as ground, that word itself means fields, and it also means soil for farming. You and I, we are created from the dust, from the dirt. We are that soil, that rich soil. We are soil that is for farming. The seed, the Word of God, in this soil, in this sedimentary rock, in this living stone, is supposed to produce a harvest of his promises in the world around me. Not just in my life, but it's supposed to produce a harvest in the lives of the people that are around me as well. This is a picture. God is using these things as a picture for us to see who we are in him and to see the potential of what he can do through us as his living stones in him. So through geology, we can see that we who are living stones in Jesus, we are represented by those sedimentary rocks. So it sounded boring at the beginning, but you can see the potential that is in sedimentary rocks because it is good, fertile soil. So the next question that a geologist is going to ask, the next logical question is, where does the sediment that makes up sedimentary rocks even come from? Where does that sediment come from? Well, here's the great thing. Geology has an answer to that question. And again, geology itself and the answer they give point us right back to the Word of God once again. Here's how sedimentary rocks are formed. I told you how igneous rocks and how metamorphic rocks. Here's how sedimentary rocks are formed. Every year, mountains get eroded. They get eroded by the elements. And they get eroded by a process that's called weatherization. Now, there's a lot to that, but you know, basically, when the rain falls, the rain is mixed with carbon dioxide that's in the air. It creates carbonic acid. That starts to work away at the stones. There's a process of weatherization with freezing and thawing. Here's what happens. Little bits and pieces of the mountain get detached from the mountain. And those little bits and pieces, it becomes debris. And in geological terminology, not the Word of God, this is what geologists and geologists tell us, geological terminology, this is called sediment. So sediment is all those little bits and pieces. Now, those little bits and pieces, that sediment that comes from the mountains, that's weathered away and comes from the mountains, all that sediment gets washed away by rainwater. And it eventually gets washed down into streams, creeks, and then eventually rivers and larger tributaries. And then that sediment which is in that water and in those rivers and is being moved by those rivers, that sediment is eventually going to settle. It's either going to settle in the rivers or it's going to settle on land as flood material. You think about when rivers overflow. Or it's going to be carried to its final destination, which is at the end of the river or the mouth of the river. And wherever that sediment lands, whether it's in the river or it's on the floodplains or if it's in the end of the mouth of a river, wherever it lands, that sediment settles. It sinks to the bottom, and then it gets cemented together by the weight of all the additional layers of sediment that come down on top of it and the weight of the water. So that is how sedimentary rock is formed. Now, with that understanding, I want you to understand that geologically, so this is a definition from geologists, geologically, the definition of sedimentary rocks is rocks that come from mountains or large masses of rock that are from the Earth's bedrock. That's what geology says. Sedimentary rocks all come from mountains or large masses of rocks that are part of the bedrock. So all this weathered sediment gets formed into sedimentary rocks. Here's what it comes down to. These are small rocks that are made from larger rocks. That's what it comes down to. Sedimentary rocks are small rocks that come from larger rocks. That sounds to me like exactly what Jesus said to Peter when Jesus called Peter the rock. This is what he was saying. I'm going to show you this verse in two different versions. So first of all, in Matthew 16, verse number 18. This is in the New King James. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I want you to note there is a power that is being spoken of even here. As it says, even the gates of Hades shall not prevail against. There's a power that's there. But I'm going to read this version to you again, but I'm going to read it from the Amplified version. And in the Amplified, you're going to get a much clearer picture of how Jesus is the bedrock and how Peter and us today, we are these small pieces of rock that come from the large rock that is Jesus. Look at this in the Amplified Bible. And I tell you, you are Peter, Greek Petros, a large piece of rock. And on this rock, Greek Petra, a huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church in the gates of Hades. The powers of the infernal region shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. Now, the word that we read as rock here, the word rock that refers to Jesus is the word Petra. It's a Greek word, Petra. It means a large rock. But it also means this. Listen to the rest of this Greek definition. Now, this is the definition. I'm taking this right from Strong's. So this is a Greek word that goes back 2,000 years. And they chose this Greek word to be the word that would line up with exactly what the Aramaic was saying. So this is as close as they could get to saying what they were doing. So it's a large rock But it's also, and listen to this, this is the exact definition. It is a native rock that rises up out of the earth. That sounds kind of familiar to me. Now, we know that Jesus came from heaven, but Jesus became native to this earth when he took on this flesh. So Jesus is the native rock that rises up out of the earth. After Jesus died for us, the rock of Jesus rose up out of the grave, which, by the way, if you're in Israel, where did he come out of? It's hewn rock. The rock of Jesus rises up out of the rock to overcome sin and death. What a magnificent word choice Jesus made to describe himself to us. He truly is a large rock. And where the Amplified uses the word Gibraltar, Rock of Gibraltar, that is a formation that the people in Israel at that time would have known and understood because it's on the other end of the Mediterranean. It was a different name, but they knew exactly what this was being spoken of. This is a picture of the Rock of Gibraltar. So Jesus is saying that he is the rock. Jesus is saying, this is who I am. I am the Rock of Gibraltar. Now, the word that we saw in that verse, that is the word rock, that refers to Peter. If you notice, it is a different Greek word. It's the word Petros. Petros means a stone. It means a small rock. Again, this is just straight definition. I'm taking it right from Strong's, giving it to you. It's a stone. It's a small rock. It's a pebble found along the pathway. But then I love this next part of the definition. Again, this is right from Strong's. This is how they determined what the Aramaic meant 2,000 years ago. They meant it to say this. It is a stone that comes from a larger stone. That is the exact geological definition that is used today by geologists to describe what a sedimentary rock is, which we can see that sedimentary rocks were made up of all the loose sediment, the dirt, the dust of the earth. You and I are made up of the dirt, the dust, the sediment from this earth. We are that small rock that is detached from the larger rock. This is who we are in Jesus. We are truly living sedimentary stones in Jesus. We are literally sedimentary living stones that are from the large rock of Jesus. That's who we are. Now, let's go back to geology and to sediment for just a minute. Geology and sediment. We've already learned when I was telling you about how sedimentary rocks are formed. Part of that, key part of that definition, which again, geologists have no idea how, when they're trying to describe to you geological formations and geological processes, they don't realize they are speaking powerful words that line up with the Word of God. So we learned from that, from the geologists, we learned that sediment, which forms into sedimentary rocks, sediment is carried along by the power of that rushing waters that are the rivers. This is how sedimentary rocks are formed. Think about our own Maumee River. If you picture the Maumee River, you're probably right now picturing a river that is just muddy, right? Well, why is it muddy? It's muddy because it's made up of all this sediment, and all this sediment gets churned up as that sediment is carried along by the power, by the force of the river itself. This is sediment. This is how sediment is carried. Now, think about this. What happens when a river floods? When a river floods, that sediment, it gets left behind on that land. As the waters of the river overflow their banks, that water eventually recedes, but all that sediment has settled there on that land. Now again, this is not my words. I'm giving you a direct definition. So this is the definition of what happens when rivers flood and sediment is involved. This is a geological definition. This is what they said. They said, new topsoil is created and the land is revived around the river. That's their definition. So when rivers flood, that sediment gets left there, deposited on the land, and it revives the land. You and I, we are sedimentary rocks. We're the living stones of Jesus. We are made up of that sediment. And in that sediment, it is that we carry within us that rich soil that has been infused or it has been sown with the Word of God. That's who we are. We are to revive the land that is around us. That's what happens when the river overflows and the sediment is left and it creates new topsoil. It revives the land around the river. We are supposed to be reviving the land around the river. The sediment is carried by us. But we are those sedimentary rocks that are also carried by the power of that raging water that is the river that is the Holy Spirit. So we are that sedimentary rock. We have that with that rich soil within us that is infused so with the Word of God. And the power of the Holy Spirit is going to wherever you go today, wherever you go tomorrow, this week, you've got opportunity. You represent, because the rivers of living water, the Holy Spirit is in you. It is taking the truth of that seed, that rich soil, deposit that soil around you. You represent the river because the Holy Spirit is flowing through you. The land around you can be revived because you are that sediment. You are that rich soil. You are that sedimentary rock, that living stone in Jesus. Igneous rocks, metamorphic rocks, they looked cool, they sounded cool, but this is how God has created the image of sedimentary rocks for us to understand who we are. And I will tell you this, everything I've said so far today, this has all just been lame because the real point I'm going to get to is next week. The point I wanted to make about geology, I had to lay all this down just so you could get to that point because it gets even more powerful. But I wanted us to see and understand who we are in Jesus. And so when it says that you are a rock, this is why I always love, this just reminds me, I have probably 10 different stones that I carry. Because every day I just want to be reminded, I am a living stone in Jesus. And I want to picture myself as that living stone. I am that rich soil that is infused with the seed, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit. That water, that raging power of the Holy Spirit, rivers of living water, flows through each one of us. I want to be reminded of who I am in Jesus. Here's that verse. I know you know it, but I just want to speak it. This is John 7, verses 38 and 39. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart. This is hard. My heart is not hard, though. So this is hard. But out of us, the living stones of Jesus Christ, out of him flows rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. And then, of course, it mentions that it's talking about the Holy Spirit. So this is the Holy. This is the picture that I want us to have. This is spiritual geology 101. It is understanding who we are. So geology teaches us. It points us to who we are in Jesus, living stones in Jesus. But it also points us to how we can bring glory to him. Now, I told you all this was just foundation for next week. So next week, here's what I want you to see. Next week, I want to show you how through Jesus, Jesus can use and will use the sedimentary, the living stones of you to produce supernatural results in this life. Geology shows us this. In fact, next week I have a photograph. It's a satellite photograph. So this is an actual satellite photograph. I will show it to you in two different forms, maybe one, maybe two. But it's an actual satellite photograph. And here's the cool thing about this photograph. If the people who are looking, the scientists who took that, the scientists who look at that, if they would look at it with open eyes in the Word of God, they would see the sign that it is. It is a sign from God. This is an awesome aerial satellite photograph. It is a clear sign from God of these very biblical principles that I'm talking to you about. God shows himself and reveals himself to the world, if the world would themselves even just have eyes to be able to see. So geology is not just about looking at a bunch of old rocks. Geology, we can use it to learn about the rock of Jesus Christ. And as we'll see next week, we will look to see how Jesus, that supernatural power, flows from the rock, that big rock of Jesus, through you and I. His living, sedimentary rocks flows through us to produce supernatural results. So, for this week, class is dismissed. Good news, no homework assignments. I do encourage you, though, this is our textbook. Keep reading the textbook, and we'll look at that some more next week. Amen? Lord, I just thank you and I praise you that your word always just shows who you are. And if we will look at your creation through the lens of your word, it is a joy and it's exciting to see you revealing yourself to us. It's exciting to see your word fully on display, gloriously around us at all times. So let our hearts continue to be open and just let us see, not just in geology, but let us, as we go through this week, let us look and see everything we're looking at, everything we see, everything that you bring across our lives. Let us look at everything through the lens of your word so we can see more revelations of you and your truth. We thank you and praise you in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and close in prayer.